This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
I'm Rachel Hampton, and you're listening to I See Why Am I. In case you missed it, Slate's podcast about internet culture, and I hope you are all having a phenomenal end to your August. I cannot believe it is almost September. Where did the time go? Speaking of time going, we're still taking a break. Yes, we're planning some really exciting stuff for y'all down the road, and of course, attempting to find a replacement for Madison Malone Kircher. And while we're busy doing that, we wanted to share some of mine, Madison's favorite episodes. Today, we are returning to an episode about a couple that manages to dominate the headlines regardless of which decade they get together. I am, of course, talking about Bennifer. With Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck's recent wedding in Savannah, Georgia, we thought it would be the perfect time to revisit our episode from June 5th, 2021, when we had none other than Bobby Finger and Lindsay Weber of the Who Weekly podcast on. We chatted about what it was like when Bennifer first united in the early 2000s and how their new relationship plays out in the era of social media gossip. We also start the episode with a chat about some old beekeeper drama from TikTok, which if you remember, your memory is much better than mine. Now, without further ado, Who Weekly explains Bennifer 3.0. The bee drama has indeed been incredible.
All over TikTok.
The girls are fighting, and the girls are the beekeepers?
The girls are apiarists.
In case you have somehow managed to miss this little bit of drama flying across your TL or your FYP, TikTok's favorite beekeeper might be a fraud, a phony, a Trump supporter.
Erica Thompson on TikTok goes by @TexasBeeWorks. And honestly, pretty good chance you've seen some of her stuff. She's, you know, had magazine and newspaper profiles and has over 6 million followers.
You might even say the Texas native is the queen bee of TikTok. She's racked up 60 million views for her humane bee removal practices. And look, Ma, no special suit, no gloves.
She does this like ASMR bee rescuing adventure. I don't think you can have managed to be on TikTok and not have seen these videos before.
As soon as I put the queen in the hive, the bees began to go right in. I still had some bees on my hand who weren't leaving because they could still smell their queen on me. So I shook them off so they could find her. Within minutes, the entire colony was rushing to get back into their new hive. You can see how fast they were moving and how the queen was covered in bees. I waited for all the bees to get into their hive, and it was another great day of saving the bees in my pajamas.
But apparently, these videos are staged, which, I'm gonna be honest, we're watching her scoop bees into her hands. I don't really know how one stages this, but somebody on TikTok, and by somebody I mean another well-trained beekeeping professional, is saying it's all fake. The person behind LA Honeybee Rescue, which, you know, by the name is clearly another well-trained professional, is saying Erica Thompson is doing this all wrong.
She's setting a very dangerous precedent. She's not wearing any kind of power gear. She's not wearing, you know, thick pants or gaiters or, you know, work boots. She looks really pretty doing it, and that's because it's faked. And I hate to say that because y'all are going to say I'm coming for her, but it's not. Like, the reason I keep my hair short is so bees don't get caught in it. If bees get caught in your hair, they sting.
The thought I always have when I see Erica Thompson's TikToks is like, she's very calm. There's a real sort of serene beauty to them. I like appreciate being put in a position where I have to think like, hey, these scary things that I'm afraid of also like are kind of cool and gorgeous. And like, what an excellent like bee advocacy position you're taking. But then I think, are all the other beekeepers who wear like the full on, you know, suits, like, are they just chicken shit? No, there's probably a reason. perhaps.
Yeah. No, yeah, there are full reasons for those, you know, outfits. It's a look. It's a vibe.
It's funny watching this. I feel the same sort of energy that I and a lot of other people get during the Olympics, which is, you know, the 2 weeks of the year where you're like, I know everything about high diving. Like, you're suddenly an expert in a niche thing that you knew nothing about a month ago. That's me in beekeeping right now.
Tune in next week where Madison will tell us how to save the bees in a way that won't
be canceled.
When
Madison's very stung.
Well, that's all the time we have for bee drama, because today's show is a crossover special. Don't fucking do it, Madison.
Because?
Anyway, one of the internet's biggest stories in the past few weeks has been the reunion of one of the early aughts' most iconic celebrity couples. That's right, we are talking about Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck reuniting and giving us Bennifer 2.0? 3.0? I don't know, actually. What I do know is that they're ushering in a kind of renaissance of 2003, a simpler time that we all clearly needed to return to. And by we all, I really mean we all, because none other than Diddy also posted a throwback photo with J-Lo, confirming not only that she's still the nude-lipped legend we all knew she was, but that we all just want to get in on the Bennifer action.
Here at ICYMI, we recognize the impact of Bennifer on the culture, but neither of us can truly claim expertise on early aughts celebrity. But to help us properly contextualize the reemergence of Bennifer in this new era, this new very online era of social media gossip and anonymous Instagram posts and, you know, who needs paparazzi when everybody has a phone, we tapped two of our favorite experts, the host of Who Weekly, Bobby Finger and Lindsay Weber, to join us in our fake studio and help us make sense of Bennifer 3.0.
17.0.
After the break, we'll be back with Bobby and Lindsay to talk about the celebrity couple that is all the buzz.
Again? Again?
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance. Then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now, that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you, fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are back with two delightful guests, Bobby and Lindsay of Who Weekly. Welcome. Hello, Crunch Crunch.
Hi, Crunch hey. Crunch. Thanks for having us.
We're so glad you're here to discuss the topic of not just our generation at this point, several generations, I think. I think it's fair to say.
Several.
At least three.
We are talking about Bennifer, the return of Ben and J-Lo, and everything old is new again.
We're so happy. I'm so happy. Even just you saying it, I'm thinking about it. Then it's making me so happy. I've yet to be like, it's just the best news that we've had in our celebrity sphere for so long, you know?
I'm as happy as Ben was when he left Jennifer Lopez's house this morning, you know? Did you see that photo?
That was actually the first thing we were going to ask is, have you seen the smirking Ben picture?
Are you
kidding? I love that you brought that up.
It's so wonderful.
Oh, so great.
Do you have a Ben Affleck Google alert?
No, because, well, technically, Bennifer isn't really our purview, like, in the main feed of our podcast. Like, it's really funny because it's like the who's are her job, but the them's are like our hobby. So it's like, it almost feels like, it almost feels we're off the, we're off the clock when we talk about Bennifer. Yeah. It does make it even more joyful that doesn't feel part of our purview, which is, I didn't even think about that until now.
Yeah. Like, if Rita, like when Rita Ora started dating Taika Waititi, it was like exciting, but it was also like, gotta do some work, gotta do some research, which again, like, we're very lucky to have jobs where our research is looking up like gossip about Rita Ora and Taika Waititi. But Bennifer is just like this like pure moment. It's this pure moment we can just be the audience, and it's a lot of fun.
Can you kind of tell us the difference between a who versus a them?
Sure. Who is like, who is that person? It's like somebody you would see on a tabloid in the airport and be like, oh my God, who is that even? Like, I don't even like, not like I don't recognize, like I just really have never heard of this person. And the Addison Rae or sorts types of celebrity. And a them is like, oh, I know them. Oh, I've heard of them. Oh, whatever. And yes, this obviously differs across generations, across, you know, where you're from or whatever, but we're really trying to, this is kind of the who them question of it all.
This dichotomy naturally being the core of the Who Weekly podcast.
The crux, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Rachel and I must fully disclose that we perhaps hypothetically missed Bennifer round one.
Were you born?
give or take.
Okay. Just please.
Yes, fully born. I will please say, when I heard Bennifer is back, I was like, which Jennifer are we talking about? Is it J-Lo? Is it Aniston? Is it then Madison was like Garner, and I was like, oh, there's so many Jennifers. So fully missed the first wave of Bennifer. So when it all came back and everyone was so happy, I was like, I want to get in on this. Why does everyone care so much?
Do you find yourself like, is it working though? Like having missed like Bennifer 1.0, it's working? Good. Yeah, it's infectious.
You're right. Like, I guess when they were, there's a very specific age of person now who was at the very specific perfect age to be like obsessed with and very much a part of tabloid culture at the time to like really ingest be excited about the Bennifer 1.0, you know? So maybe Gen Z or whatever is less enthused. But I would say that even if they weren't aware of the first time, the J-Lo is still as famous than ever, if not more so than she was then. Like, she literally is our president. And Ben Affleck, I think, also stays in the press. You know, maybe they're not as aware of Good Will Hunting as we are and like that whole thing. But that guy, I think he definitely still hits all generations.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. The fame is astronomical. But I guess I'm curious, could you kind of recount for, you know, our younger listeners and perhaps me, the round one celebrity kind of media experience that was like Bennifer 1.0?
Bobby, go for it.
Yeah, well, the two of them were a little before our time in that we were maybe 10 when they were having their big come up, because Ben had been acting for a long time before Good Will Hunting kind of like shot him up and he won his Oscar with his best friend. And Jennifer Lopez had been sort of on the come up since, because she was a dancer first, obviously, so she was on television, she was dancing, but like her big come up came like Anaconda and like Selena time in the mid 90s. So like she was coming up in the late 90s. Ben was like kind of already there, but still going up in the late 90s. And then when they crossed paths in the early 2000s, it was like, oh, these are two of just like the most famous actors in Hollywood getting together. And this was also when she was becoming a music superstar too, so it was like we weren't quite sure if the music was gonna last, but she was still famous enough that like, oh, two big A-listers are together and their names make a great portmanteau.
I'm still color the movie scripts.
There was also a beautiful thing that I think that people loved about them, where, you know, she was Jenny from the block and she was from the Bronx and he was from Boston, and they were both these kind of like hometown heroes coming together, and they both kind of had these like great like hometown hero origin, and they really kind of like fit in this really sweet way. And they also were very, maybe I think to the detriment of their relationship, which they probably said in retrospect a bunch of times before they got back together separately in interviews, they talked to the media. They did interviews. They were lovey-dovey. There's that famous Diane Sawyer interview that we love to reference where she reaches out to him for comments. She's interviewing J-Lo and she reaches out to Ben for comment. And of course, at the end of the interview, she's like, just in time for this interview, I got an email back from Ben. And it's like the sweetest, nicest email about Jen, just like,
here's what he wrote. I consider myself to be the luckiest man alive, for reasons which should be plainly self-evident after hearing Jen speak for a minute, much less an entire hour.
This is pulling me in already.
Yeah. It's I think sweet. We were like rooting for them, but I also think that the machine of it all really did break them up. So the irony of us all being so into it was what ruined it in that way. I mean, obviously, like, her stardom would go astronomical from there. Like, she was only getting more famous. And he had some, like, substance abuse issues. So he had to go through, like, that. And, you know, and now later, two kids later, one marriage each of them, for each of them, many fiancés for her, but whatever, later, they can now come together, like, mature. And I think first of all, as a nostalgic thing, obviously, millennials are obsessed, but also, we're all now mature. And I think we can also say, like, it'd be so beautiful to reunite with that high school fling or whatever. And, like, all of a sudden, you're both mature adults and, like, wow, is it going to work? You know?
Yeah. And I think the fact that it's happening on the tail end of at least, like, America's battle with the pandemic, like, so many people in the United States are vaccinated now. Like, there's a very easy parallel to make between, like, going back to normal. And I know, like, there's a whole conversation to be had about normal. But, like, that feels so normal. It feels so dated that it's like, oh, wow, maybe things are making a turn. And, like, even though that's absolutely wrong and not the case, there is something, like, conceptually and thematically very comforting about, like, these two people returning to a better time and maybe doing it better the second time around. You know, like, there are so many weird metaphors to make with this relationship that I feel like people are applying, at least I'm applying, that only make it more interesting, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. You mentioned, Lindsay, the kind of machinery driving them apart, and I'm curious as to how much you think, like, the gossip blogs, I'm thinking kind of like Lainey and Perez, kind of fit into that machinery, and then how you kind of see that their place currently, like in 2021 versus 2003.
I mean, I think back then it was kind of the beginning, or at least like the very beginning of online tabloid journalism in terms of the blogs. Like, because they really hit their stride when I was in college, so this was before that, and things were happening. More people had more access, more cameras on cell phones, more, you know, just kind of like everything in your face and just overwhelming amounts of attention on something like this, and more just outlets for the pictures to go. And that was maybe new for everyone. That was new for them. It was new for us as consumers. And now we're more used to it, maybe. I don't know. Like, I can't say it's better. It's probably worse. It's probably gotten worse. But at least they know what to expect, you know? And at least, like, maybe there's a world in which they can have a little fun with it versus just being terrified. And maybe he's come into just more of an acceptance of that in his life. And maybe they found new ways to control the narrative that maybe they didn't have before. Maybe that's how it works, you know, like more places to be private, more money so that more
richer,
big houses to be private in. They're richer. They can get more done with more money. I don't know. There's lots of factors, I think.
Why do you think that everyone kind of lost their minds again in 2021 over this kind of like specific couple?
I mean, it is, I can't imagine a more, we're inundated with C and D listers. I can't imagine a more A-list pairing. Like, everyone's on the same page with knowing who they are and what this kind of quote unquote means. it feels, you know, there was no one you could send this to who wasn't like, whoa, you know, mm-hmm. even somebody yeah. who maybe doesn't care about celebrities that much would still be like, oh, interesting, like crazy, you know? Mm.
It was nostalgia, but it was also like the very recent history of Jennifer Lopez's like relationship drama, her yeah. on again, off again stuff with A-Rod. Was like sort of like in turn funny, but then also kind of sad because there were allegations of cheating. And then there were like the weird things where they were like, where she got mad that people purported that they broke up. Remember? And she made that TikTok that was very defensive. That was like, how dare you, like love wins or whatever, where it was like, you're out of your mind, Jennifer Lopez. Like, this is wild. Like she's just one of those famous people that is so famous and so successful and so like in this weird bubble that like she's completely unrelatable. And so to have this completely unrelatable person who had just broken up with this guy who, again, we never knew the details for sure, but like probably cheated on her. Like that's sort of what it seemed like. And she was like, I've had enough of this, to go back to this person who may be like the only other man on the planet who, like, apart from Mark Anthony, but like who like is an option at this point. She's so famous that like how could she can't just get with an Ana de Armas equivalent in a way. Like Ben Affleck can like be seen dating some like not normal girl, but like B-list person, up-and-coming person. Jennifer Lopez mm-hmm. like needs someone way up there, someone she has history with.
How do you guys feel, because round one of this was 2002, so like the pace of the internet was much, much slower to non-existent. I'm curious how like the rate of digestion of relationship content in Bennifer 3.0 works a little differently, I imagine, now that we're all online and getting TMZ push alerts.
I mean, it's crazy, but it also just feels interesting because it's like photos of celebrities have been so devalued because everybody can take a photo of a celebrity, and also celebrities can post their own photos now. So it's like, why would anyone buy my photo of Pink if Pink is posting photos of herself on Instagram that like a tabloid can use for free, essentially? So I think celebrities have kind of grabbed back the kind of narrative of access, where it's like you used to need access and that was the power, and you still do. And now they're like, we're just not going to give you access, like best of luck to you, you know? And that I think is very different. But these photos almost felt like, I mean, they're worth like $1 million all of a sudden. We had this like this renaissance of kind of, we need to see more photos of these two together. And I think that is increasingly rare in terms of like the tabloid landscape. So mm-hmm. I don't know, it feels very different. It also feels like everything is just so fast that mm-hmm. we're getting a photo a day here, you know, and we just got to keep up.
It's just like, it felt like a throwback. Like, and also like in the conversations, especially with Britney Spears, and I know there was that whole thing with Kate Middleton too, it almost feels like we've outgrown the need for those sorts of invasive paparazzi photos. But again, like Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, they feel like this exception. Like there's that person on our shoulder being like, you shouldn't be okay with this, we're invading their privacy. But then I'm also like, but I want them to fall in love, and I want to see them happy together. Like it's it's creating this fight within myself, you know, because it does feel so weird.
I do feel like a less famous couple, though, would have already posted a photo of themselves together on Instagram, kind of like beat the press in a way. And I don't, mm-hmm. but I feel like these two are somehow dragging out the fact that it's like, will they, won't they, even though they clearly will and they have. And like, that's kind of a funny thing. And maybe that's because they're retro, maybe because they're thinking about the last time they did this. And like a modern kind of more online couple probably would have already tried to beat the paparazzi at their game by just putting everything out there, you know?
Right. I mean, Ben Affleck doesn't even like have
no
social media.
He has his private
and J-Lo
one.
Has a, yeah, right. What's it called? Like good bill fronting. What's it called? Like positive vibes.
It's called like positive vibes bill or something. It's Goodwill Hunting, but like other words for each of those words.
Yes, like it's.
It's really funny. But like, but
deeply
remember,
corny.
But like you were saying, yeah. Lindsay, remember how Ana de Armas and Ben Affleck announced their relationship on Instagram with a photo on Ana's Instagram that he took? You know, and she was like,
a selfie.
Picture emoji, colon, Ben, or whatever. Like, it was like she gave him credit for taking the photo of her on the beach. They haven't done that yet.
Yeah, and I actually do wonder why, because she does obviously have a huge team of social people that she probably works with. But maybe there's something holding them back. He doesn't use it. She barely wants to use it. So it's a little different than him dating this like younger, more modern, you know, starlet or whatever.
How much do you think their kind of reluctance to, I guess, publicly acknowledge it has to do with the kind of built-in hype that they're creating around themselves? Like, the less kind of official photos come through with their actual channels, the more it's like, are they going to announce it now? Is it going to happen now? Like, let me look at this paparazzi photo to see how close they are.
I think it's a lot of it. Ben is clearly, like, Ben has established himself, especially since, like, being single and dating the nanny after breaking up with Jennifer Garner, like, sort of, like, a bit of a bumbling idiot. And so, but Jennifer Lopez is the most, like, calculated, like, put-together type A celebrity we have, one of them. And so I think that they're being very, because of Jennifer, like, they're being very deliberate about what they reveal when they reveal it. Like, even though we're seeing these paparazzi photos, like, of them in the car together, of them on the tarmac together, I do believe that they are capable of not being photographed if they didn't want to be photographed.
There's this kind of interesting, like, Ben and Jennifer feel kind of like the last traces of, like, celebrity monoculture in a way. Like, I feel like y'all show kind of really gets at the fact that there are so many different pockets of celebrity now because of the internet. But Ben and Jennifer still command that level of just attention. Like, they're really kind of like the last big stars, where, like, Addison Rae maybe has a bigger reach than any of them collectively on a social media platform, but, like, I don't give a fuck who Addison Rae is dating, but, like, I didn't care about Bennifer 1.0, but seeing them together in 3.0, I'm like, this is important.
You're right. Like, I don't know if I can think, like, just off the top of my head, I don't know of any of many couples from that, like, early, again, like, right before the internet really made everything get fragmented. What it was, like, Bennifer, it was,
well, Gwyneth and Brad at that point, for briefly, that was a while ago, but when Gwyneth and Brad Pitt dated, that was big, right?
Yeah, yeah, I just,
Brad and Jennifer, obviously, Aniston. Mm-hmm.
And the Beyonce and Jay-Z was a big thing because their relationship was rumored for so long and they refused to confirm it and everyone knew. And so, but, like, that was a thing that people talked about. And, like, you're right, we don't really have this thing anymore.
We had it for the briefest of moment when Brad and Jen, you know, touched hands on that red carpet and everyone. Right.
But also when they did that reunion, remember when they did that reunion over, like, during the pandemic, they were on Zoom and Brad was like, what's up, Jen? And, like, everyone lost their
hair.
Fucking collective, his hair looks really
his
good.
Hair.
But, like, everyone lost their collective minds. And I think it kind of really points to the fact that I think people really miss, they miss that celebrity monoculture in a way where it's like, these are big people who are getting involved with each other.
I would love monoculture to come back. Like when we all watch the same stuff, like live TV ruled. You're right. Like, we don't have that because of all the streaming services and just fractured media. And I think we all crave that.
It's like, I am alone. Everyone is at this party without me.
It's true.
And I will never be invited.
We're all at the party with Jennifer and Ben. We're all there.
Well, thank you both so much for being here with us today on ICYMI. Again, this is Bobby Finger and Lindsay Weber of the podcast Who Weekly. This was a blast. I learned
Thanks for
so
having
much.
Us.
It's really fun. Yeah, thanks for having us. We so rarely get to talk about thems. Yeah.
Long live Bennifer 3.0.
And that's the show. We'll be back in your feed on Wednesday, so please subscribe. Our episodes are free, and it's the best way to make sure you never miss a show. Please consider leaving us a rating and a review in Apple Podcast. Tell your friends about us. No one has taken us up on the offer to purchase a Skywriter to do some promo for the show, but that could be you. Also always follow us on Twitter at @ICYMI_pod. Get up in our mentions, send us good TikToks, or feel free to shoot us a DM if you've got questions about why teens on TikTok think Helen Keller is a hoax. I really wish I were kidding. And of course, you can always, always, always drop us a note at icymi@slate.com. Who knows? We might just have you on the show, covered in bees.
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader. Our supervising producer is Derek John. Forrest Wickman is Slate's culture editor. And Gabe Broth is editorial director of audio. See you online.
Buzz, buzz.
Don't bring up Justice Scalia when we're talking about Ben Affleck
you brought
and Jennifer
up Jeffree
Lopez.
Star.
Yeah, really.
Okay, that's right. Okay. Oh,
the call is coming from inside the house.
sorry. Stand corrected.
Hi, y'all. If you love ICYMI, then please consider subscribing to Slate Plus. When you subscribe, you get no ads on any Slate podcast, including this one. You will be supporting ICYMI. The show would not be possible without the support of Slate Plus subscribers. You'll also get bonus segments or episodes on shows like Slow Burn, Hit Parade, The Waves, and Big Mood, Little Moon. You'll get unlimited reading on the Slate website, which means you get access to every single article and advice column on Slate without ever hitting the paywall. Think it's a pretty good deal if you ask me. Just visit slate.com/ICYMI+ to sign up. That is slate.com/ICYMI+.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.